Welcome to the Amateur MILF Society, a podcast about the highs and lows of mothering in the modern age. We're your hosts, Rosie and Sinead, and we are just
Just trying.
trying. Join us on a journey from positive pregnancy tests through to school and beyond as we try to untangle all those complicated thoughts and feelings that come when you decide to push a baby out of your vagina. Other birthing methods are available. We are average non-famous mums who live average non-famous lives, although if we get famous, we're not complaining, and we will turn the heating on whenever we damn well please, because I'm very cold, actually. I put the heating on today for the first time in months, and I have mixed feelings about it. How cold are you?
Not that cold.
Oh no.
Oh, for
All
fuck's
the
sake.
sounds, all the sounds.
Everyone in my house is making noise right now.
I think it'll be interesting to see how this sounds on these lovely new mics, though, don't you?
Yes, I
And I
wonder if it'll
think,
pick it
do you
up.
know what, as well? It just makes it more like realistic for our massive audience,
I'm
doesn't
gonna put
it?
my phone and my laptop in Do Not Disturb.
Do not disturb because we're recording, actually.
Actually, we're recording, Louise.
We're actually recording a very serious and successful podcast. And we're gonna need it. I mean, like prop, I was gonna say proper podcasts, but
This is a
it
proper
is a proper
podcast.
podcast. What am I talking about? You know, like famous ones. Do you think that they have to put their phones in like a Faraday cage? Is that what it's called?
What the hell is a Faraday cage?
A Faraday cage? Is it a Faraday cage? Faraday box?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, so they're like they're boxes that are made out of like really, really thick metal.
The gunproof.
Yeah, but you put your phone
Bulletproof,
bulletproof. No,
not
the
gunproof.
idea is that they like no signal can come out of them because it stops any signal. So,
Ah.
it's like a safe box for your phones in terms of like signal and stuff. And it's called a Faraday box or Faraday cage because it's invented by the scientist Faraday, who's quite famous for that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm sort of saying this like I know what I'm talking about, but I've just seen it on the telly. They're like, I think the police might use them.
I'm sure I've heard someone's phone buzzing in a podcast before.
I'm sure I have too.
Do you remember when we were recording a podcast last year and the government fucking safety alarm started going off?
And I'd forgotten.
But yours didn't go
Mine didn't
off.
go off at all. Now there's poltergeists in your room.
There are
What the hell is
ghosts.
going on
Oh,
here?
I don't know. This is actually really stressing me out.
Why is your door swung open?
Because my door is broken.
This is not the Uncanny Podcast. Yeah, but the joy of this, Sinead, is that you can wander over to your door, saunter over, your microphone still works, we still sound really crisp and lovely.
When you say saunter, please
I
explain
mean,
to the listeners what.
crawl on her hands and knees, like some kind of weird little urchin to try and now she's getting the Hoover out to Hoover away the poltergeist. And now she's got her gym ball. I think this episode should just be you pottering around the room and me narrating it and just see what
What
happens.
is Sinead doing now?
Sinead's now bouncing on a pregnancy ball for reasons unknown to me. I can't look at one of those without getting like PTSD from that was the gym ball. Okay, guys, that was the gym ball. I get PTSD looking at gym balls because I just think of like being heavily pregnant. And just like that was like the last ditch attempt to not feel any pain in my back during the last few weeks of pregnancy, sitting on a gym
Oh.
ball. And that's the only time I've ever used one as well. So that's why like I have such a visceral reaction to looking at a gym ball. I
I
just
love
think,
sitting on my
oh,
gym ball.
I'm looking at it now and it's like psychosomatic. I'm getting backache just looking at it. And yeah.
Actually, for the remainder of this podcast, I'm going to go and sit in my wardrobe.
You sit in your wardrobe and like we'll just shout to each other.
Yeah, like everyone else is doing in my
Like,
house right now.
I still think it's gonna be really funny to listen to. I think it's fine. I honestly, now we've got these beautiful mics, and which, by the way, are now like attached to spatulas that I've bought especially. I am gonna decorate them like Connie's, and I'm not gonna try and like do it better than Connie because that would be unfair. But I am gonna copy her and like throw glitter at them, I think. Do you
Yeah.
know what I mean? Maybe I'll put our names on them or something.
That would be good.
Yeah.
But not like loose glitter, because I feel like that will come off on our hands.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So maybe like glitter glue or something.
Yeah.
I'll workshop it with my own brain, probably at 2 o'clock in the morning when I can't go to sleep. What was I gonna say? I was gonna say something about these microphones. I think we could record this like on a walk. I think
Yes.
we could record whilst I was about to say a bike ride, but I don't think either of us want to do that.
No.
I don't want to get on a bike at all.
No, neither do I, Rosie.
Do you own a bike?
No.
So I own a bike. I used to cycle to work when I used to work at the North Face. Big shout out to the North Face Leicester, TNF crew. I used to cycle from Wigston to town and back every day.
Oh my God, I bet your legs were like my legs, steel.
They were like so hench. But for the first few months of working there, I cycled with a no gear bike. I had one of those fancy ones with a basket on it. Mm. So because it had no gears, it was rendered absolutely useless on a road because it has hills. And I obviously wasn't dressed in a floral dress and a
you didn't
straw
have
hat.
A baguette
no,
in the basket.
I was wearing North Face leggings and hiking shoes, and my dad drove past me to like past me cycling to work one day in his on his motorbike, and he obviously saw me struggling to get up a hill on my no gear bike, and he felt so sorry for me. The next day he bought me a mountain bike that had gears because he was like, that girl cannot cycle to work every day on that bike. Anyway, the point is I used to cycle to work, then I got a nice mountain bike. Rode that to work and back every day. Got pregnant with Ramona. Carried on cycling for a little bit, but then like I felt a bit sketchy and a bit sick. So yeah. I stopped cycling and I haven't been on a bike since. Because now the thought of getting on a bike and being near other cars driving terrifies me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've got children. I don't want to die.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I've just not like...
I don't think I've been on a bike since I had Darcy.
It's like it's become like a mum fear. One of those like weird mum fears. It's like, I can't go near a bike.
I've
just
had
not, it's not safe.
No reason to go on a bike. Why would I be going
Why
on a bike?
Why would I be going on a bike?
What business would I have on a bicycle?
No. But then I know people who cycle their bikes with their kids on. Do you know
That's
what I mean?
That's weird.
It's mad.
Yeah, insane.
I mean, good for them. I'm a little bit jealous.
If
I'm just
I was going on a bike ride... Yeah. I would be cycling away from Darcy, not with her on the
bike.
Yeah,
that would be, that's your getaway vehicle.
Yeah, I'm trying to teach Darcy how to ride a bike without stabilisers and it is driving me to fucking distraction.
That's why it would be your getaway vehicle, because...
Because yeah, she can't follow me.
Currently, at time of recording, she can't ride a bike. No shade, Darcy. It is hard work, though, learning to ride a bike.
Oh my God, it's so stressful.
It is
so
stressful.
I've been taking, so her school is... a 5-minute walk away from our house.
Yeah.
So I've been taking the bike, not at school pickup time, but if she's at after school club.
It's quieter.
Yeah. So
sure.
Because one, she's so distractible that she will not look where the bike is meant to be going. Like she sees something out the corner of her eye, she's like,
yeah, squirrel.
Like a meerkat.
Yeah.
And also, for a girl who has remarkable core strength, she cannot hold her body upright for some reason.
She needs to start pole dancing, doesn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, she does. Also, so she can ride the bike. Like, she can pedal the bike. She can't fucking steer.
Yeah, the
she
steering
She can pedal
man.
The bike.
Yeah.
But as soon as she realises that she is pedalling the bike on her own, she screams, "Let's go of the handlebars," and puts her feet down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so counterproductive.
Yeah, yeah. That's
What's
the opposite
wrong
of what
you
should do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's and the steering. That was the main problem with me teaching Ramona. Well, actually, I started to teach Ramona and then Dave took over because he's far more patient than I am. But it was the steering, because like she got the hang of the balance bit and the pedaling, but then her arms were it's like her arms turned to jelly and she was weaving all around. And I was just like, mate, just hold your arms still. And then if there's a left turn, turn left. Like, it's really simple. Yeah, they don't. Yeah. She'll get it though. It's fine.
I know. I think she'll. It'll happen eventually. But yeah. Like, it's just so. She's so dramatic about it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, give me strength.
Yeah. So dramatic. I can't remember. I've told you. Have I told you on this podcast about one of my core memories when I learned to ride a bike?
No.
I'm sure I've told you in person. So my house is. So my mum and dad's house is opposite the school that Ramona goes to, and we live on the street like behind it. And the driveway of the school was like a crescent shape, and it never used to have fences and stuff, obviously, because like, didn't matter if kids got kidnapped in the 90s.
Yeah,
it was just something that it's just something that happened, a bit like mad cow disease. It's just one of those things.
Just like mad cow disease.
Just one of those things. And so when I think I was really young when my dad taught me. I think I was like 4 because I don't think I'd started school yet.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad had bought me this secondhand rally bike that was blue. And he took me over to the school driveway one like weekend when it was quiet, and he taught me on... Oh, and also, this is the best thing about it. He bought me a fluorescent pink helmet that was called a skid lid.
Skid lid.
How cool is that? So I had my skid lid on, and then I had my rally bike, and my dad taught me. And because it was like a crescent shape, I had my back to my street. And as he let go of the bike and I was pedaling fine on my own and also like not weaving around like a maniac because I'm not as dramatic as my daughter and I could ride it quite easily and I was only four, so fuck you, Ramona. So he let go of the bike and I was pedaling and I was like, whoa. And then I heard this massive like uproar of cheering. And as I was like pedaling and I sort of working my way around the crescent shape, I looked over my shoulder and all of the kids on my street were stood at the end of my road cheering me. So that's they'd all come down so to watch me. And then as he'd let go, they all started cheering me.
That's so cute.
Isn't that the best core memory ever?
It really is.
Yeah. So
I learned to ride a bike in Ireland.
Of course you did. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I think it did take me ages. I was very shit.
Did you have like... the opposite of me with like your friends cheering you, or did you have like the same group of boys tying you to a tree like throwing rocks at you as you rode the bike down the street?
No, my granddad used to take me out, but I don't remember quite how it happened because I remember like the stabilizers coming off and I was terrified.
I never had stabilizers and I think that was the key.
I think that is the key, but the thing is, like, I know loads of people whose kids have had balance bikes
to no stabilizers.
Darcy didn't have a balance bike.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, because Ramona didn't have a balance bike. And she was fine learning to ride a bike, but the build up to it was the same, quite dramatic and scared of everything. Lola has had a balance bike. Well, she's had one since she was like one. And she's going to have she goes down that road on a balance bike like a fucking rocket.
Yeah.
So she'll be fine.
Like Darcy just, she had one, she never got the hang of it. And I never liked using it either.
Ramona was the same. She didn't like it.
I think she just doesn't like feeling out of control of her body.
Yeah, same babe.
Which is understandable. We've been so far off topic of talking about the heating.
Someone would think that maybe, based on our current discussion, that maybe we were going to talk about like outdoor activities, when in fact we're going to talk about kids' fashion.
We are.
It's sort of on trend. The skid lid was pretty fashionable.
Yes.
Every time I say skid lid, I have to bash myself on the head. Donk, donk.
So, after we've covered heating, various ghosts,
gym balls, bikes,
and biking,
yes,
cycling. What is your weakness sentence, Rosie?
Okay, my weakness sentence is I wish to have access to Grace Jones's personal assistant, please.
Ooh.
So this morning, so we listened to Six Music because we're very cool, and we were eating breakfast, and Grace Jones was on the radio, one of her songs, and I can't remember what the lyric was exactly, but it was something to do with her flying.
Mm-hmm.
And Ramona said, "Why is that lady saying that she can fly? She obviously can't fly because she's a person." And I said to her, "She's Grace Jones. She can do whatever she wants." And then she said, "What do you mean? Who's Grace Jones?" And I was like, well. So then we spoke about Grace Jones for a bit. And I was like, we don't have time now because we're about to go to school. And we've already...
The history lesson will have to wait.
We've already... I've already made you watch one heavy metal song to dance to before we leave for school. We don't have time for Grace Jones. We'll watch it when we get home from school. So just before I came here, we put Grace Jones on YouTube. We were watching some videos. And all the 80s ones are a little bit odd, and Ramona didn't get them.
She's mental.
Because she's insane.
Yeah.
And 80s videos are insane. So I was like, put a live one on. Put a live thing on. Also, she's done recent stuff. So there's a video, and I want any of you listening to this, feel free to pause the podcast and go watch it before I carry on talking. There is a video of her singing Slave to the Rhythm at the BBC Proms in 2010. So in 2010, we had to work it out because we couldn't fucking believe our eyes. In 2010, Grace Jones was 62 years old.
Uh-huh.
She was on stage wearing a very, very small black strapless leotard. I'm going to say 6-inch black heels. She had like a massive headdress on that's like something out of like the Brazilian
like the carnival.
Carnival headdress that was huge, bigger than her.
Sounds like something Darcy would love to wear. And this whole outfit.
Amazing,
including
right?
The heels.
And she was singing Slave to the Rhythm, which was, I think, like the whole song was maybe like 5 minutes. And the entire time she was singing it, she was hula hooping.
That's insane.
But not only that, but like her legs were like as good, if not better than like Elle Macpherson or something. Honestly, she looked fucking amazing. And I was like, I can't believe this woman is hula hooping. Also, her voice is still... I mean, this was in 2010. I know her voice now is still incredible. But I was just like, this woman isn't real.
But it's
she's
like
not real.
You see Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine, like, at Glastonbury or something, and she's running a fucking 10K up and down the stage.
She's doing laps.
For no reason.
And then also just singing with her beautiful voice.
For absolutely no reason. Then she belts out, like, the throatiest, like, longest, most heart-wrenching note you've ever heard in your life.
It's
like,
unacceptable.
What's wrong with you? I can barely talk after walking up the stairs to my bedroom.
I
can barely muster a whisper.
I want Grace Jones's like personal assistant, and I also want her PT because I need to know her exercise regime. It's insane.
Yeah.
Do you know what Dave said to me?
Yeah,
Dave was
it's
like,
walking around your house in 6-inch heels with a hula hoop.
I think it's probably that, isn't it? While singing, Dave was like, "Do you think that someone told her to do the hula hooping?" And I just looked at him and I went, I don't think anyone tells Grace Jones what to do.
No.
I think that was entirely her idea. And I think she's stuck with it and it's paid off because she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it. Honestly, 62. I was pointing at the screen like...
She's 62.
I was so angry. I was so angry, but also so amazed. I was going, she's the same age as your granddad, Ramona. Can you imagine him doing that? I mean, no shade, Dad, but she's hula hooping.
I know.
Anyway, that's my week in a sentence. What's yours?
My week in a sentence is there any more spine-chilling email than the one you get from school when another child in your kid's class has nits?
Oh, have you hit nits?
And I was so...
Oh, no.
We had a nits era in nursery.
Did you?
Yeah. But we've not had any since you started school.
Okay.
I got the email on Monday.
Oh,
and
no.
For context, my daughter's hair is not easy hair to detect the presence of nits.
No.
I know as soon as I get that email that I will be spending upwards of 40 minutes a day examining her head for nits.
Yeah.
Thank God we didn't find any, because trying to put the nit
comb
stuff,
the comb
and the like fucking whatever knit grease you have to put to get rid of them.
Oh God.
Like, it's just a nightmare.
Do you remember having knits as a kid?
Yeah. I remember sitting on the bathroom floor, cross-legged, while my mum knit combed my hair.
My dad used to knit comb my hair because he used to be really good at playing with my hair. So I actually found the knit combing experience really nice because he was really gentle and I like having my hair played with. And he used to play this game with me to make it easier, where if he found a knit, he'd like tell me he'd found it and then give it like an occupation, and then he'd slap my head. So he'd like comb my hair and he'd go, "Oh, found one." It always started, the first knit was always at the pub. So he'd go, "Found one, he's in the pub having a pint," and then he'd thwack my head as if to say, "That one's dead." And then he'd go on, "Oh, there's one on a motorbike," smack. And he'd do that. And I just thought it was the best game ever. So my experience of knits is quite fun. But I know that if my mum was here now...
With your girls?
Maybe I should. I mean, my patience would probably wear thin quite quickly.
Have you had to knit comb either of their hair?
No, but their hair is like smoke, so it won't be that hard.
Yeah. Yeah, your girl's hair would be so easy to knit comb.
Yeah, I admit I do not envy you at all.
Darcy has so much hair.
And it is so curly. It is so, so curly.
It's so, so curly.
You're going to have to send her in school wearing like a swimming cap. So
her hair has
them.
Been like French braided as tightly as it will possibly go all week. And I'm like, your hair's going in. And I'm literally on pain of death. I'm like, if you come out of school with your hair out of them braids, I will murder you.
Yeah. It's murder or knits. It's one of the
murder or knits, you choose.
Oh, God. Wow. We've not had any of those yet. We've not had any knit emails, but I'm sure it's coming, because you know it's the start of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
We've just dealt with some holidays, so we've just dealt with 6 weeks. We barely scraped through.
They're gonna start getting ill soon.
Well, my kids are now ill. So we're 2 weeks in and they're already ill. I can feel my illness coming and I'm just like, fuck you. Like 2 weeks is all I got.
I know.
2 weeks of sort of not even bliss because I was just like the after, it was like
in recovery.
That's it. I was in recovery, still feeling quite like shaky about everything. And now I think they're probably not going to be going to school. I mean, Ramona, I'll probably, yeah, I'm sure I can find a reason for her to go to school. Just put loads of Calpol in her system it's before fine. She goes. It's fine.
You're fine.
It's fine. You're okay. Stop coughing.
When I was a kid, though, my mum, like, I had to be really ill.
Yeah, to me get too. School. Me like, too. Yeah.
Brink of death.
Yeah. I had to be, like, throwing up on the doorstep as I'm leaving. Like, if I was throwing up on my school uniform, then perhaps I would be allowed to go back inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, maybe. That's it. Yeah. Anyway. Shall we talk about our... We need to... Come on, guys. Come on. What are we on already?
Again, always. Always with the intro.
21 minutes already. Jesus Christ. Well, welcome back as well, by the way. We've had a couple of weeks off.
We have.
My car broke. I was feeling like shit. We were... Look, we're going to get back on it now. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. Today we're going to talk about kids' fashion.
We are.
We thought we'd like ease in with a nice, easy one.
Yeah, a nice, easy, chatty one. And fun. I think this is a good one. This one's quite appropriate for us as well, because I feel like if it wasn't for kids' fashion,
yeah,
we would not be as close as we are now.
Yeah, it's like before the record, we were talking quite a lot about Pinterest, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a really, it's very, we've got a very similar Pinterest board. When it comes to kids' fashion. Like, our personalities fit the mm-hmm. kids' fashion Pinterest board, don't they?
Yeah.
I think we both agree. And this,
we're just talking about what we wear.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this because I was thinking about, like, the sort of stuff we're going to talk about and how heavily influenced that is by myself.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I do think that's worth discussing. It's like, how what you dress your kids in reflects...
Yeah.
Your personality.
Yeah, definitely. So, should we talk about that right now?
Yeah, let's talk about that right now.
Let's start with that. So, because the problem with this is, that's the ultimate goal, isn't it? The ultimate goal is for you to sort of, your kids to dress in the way that you dress, which reflects your personality, which reflects their personality. But the problem is, your children have different personalities to you.
Yeah, so when they're babies, it's fine.
Fine, you can totally go with whatever you want them to be seen in.
Mm-hmm.
But then they get an opinion, and also they get outside information, like, for example, I don't know, I'm just plucking something out of nowhere, like fucking Disney's Frozen or something. And then suddenly...
They want everything to be Disney's Frozen.
All they want to do is wear character clothing. And so right off the bat, Sinead, I fucking hate it. I hate character clothing. I hate Disney clothing. I hate stupid supermarket t-shirts with rubbish vinyl prints of Disney princesses on them.
Yeah.
But I have to get them in some capacity.
I will say, though... I like, as a general rule, I don't like character clothing.
Mm.
But if I see character clothing done well,
it's acceptable.
Then it's fine. Like, yeah, Darcy had this one specific Elsa tracksuit.
Oh, an Elsa tracksuit.
Yeah, it was like, it was a Frozen tracksuit, so it was navy, and then it had like a print of like Elsa and Anna's faces on it. I'm sure kids have had it somewhere along the line.
It's ringing some kind of bell.
And like, I bought that because I was like, yeah, it is character, but like, it looks fine.
It's like quite smart and it's not. Yeah.
And she had a dress, like a Frozen. Was it Frozen? Yeah, Frozen, like cream jumper dress with like a lilac mesh skirt.
There's a lot of. This is.
Tulle skirt attached to it. Now,
look, I quite like a tulle skirt, but I think it's because they're always now with character tops or character dresses that I'm starting to get annoyed with tulle. Because it's like, it's always associated with a vinyl sticker of a princess's face on it, which just annoys me. I do agree, though, like, if it's done well, if it's a little bit different, and if it's also like a bit more subtle.
Yes, I don't mind the subtle character clothing, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, and also, the exception as well is like, I've generally been like, no character clothing.
Mm.
But you can have whatever characters you want on your pyjamas.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I was like, pyjamas, they can be
full character. That's fine.
That's an acceptable way to be like, you want to wear something from the film you really love, that's great. Dressing gown, onesie, pajamas, socks, pants, fine.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine. But it's the dresses that they want to wear every single day. And it's like, I know in my head, this is something I have to battle with, that the reason I feel that way is because subconsciously I'm like, I want you to have your own mind.
Yeah.
And you've not got your own mind when you're deciding that the main thing you want to wear is a Frozen t-shirt, because, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then again, like, that is their mind.
I know, like, I know. And that's my problem. I think that's my problem.
Like, projecting what we think they should be thinking on them. Like, you should have better taste than this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's definitely a me problem. And I have, like, there was a time when Ramona would only wear Frozen stuff. And I was like, fine, whatever, it makes you happy. And now she's completely out of that and it's okay.
Yeah.
And I get it. I do get it. And I was the same. I was obsessed with Pocahontas. They didn't have as many, like, Pocahontas-themed clothes when I was that age. I did have a Pocahontas pyjama and a Pocahontas lunchbox. But I know that feeling. I know that feeling of wanting to have the Disney things. Things I like printed all over that. Get it. So I have, like, reined it in, and I did allow it. I didn't, like, say no to anything.
Because there are some people that will just not let character clothes into their house.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I have mixed feelings on people that, like, really strictly police what their kids wear.
Yeah.
Because I know that, like, I definitely steer Darcy a lot in what she wears.
Yeah.
But, like, you know the people that, like, their kids are dressed, like, in head-to-toe beige and cream?
Oh, Werner Herzog's all the time. Sad beige clothes for sad beige babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, that's the extreme, isn't it?
Of course it is. Yeah.
Portraying.
Yeah.
Who you are and using your kids as a canvas for that.
Yeah. Now this is where it's really, you get really murky waters here, right?
Mm.
Because, and I agree with you. I'm definitely on the same page as you. I think, like, my problem is I don't like the look. I don't think they're well made. I think they're probably not very eco-friendly. The vinyl prints on the t-shirts by Disney that are put in supermarkets, right? But I allow it to a certain extent because I know it makes my children happy.
Yeah.
So the murky water here is there might be parents who don't let their children wear clothes like that because they are incredibly eco-conscious and they only buy clothes
from, like, organic,
organically sourced, organic cotton, that sort of
small
thing.
Small business, that which, kind of thing.
Which, fundamentally, I do agree with. However, you are then getting onto that same page about me feeling like they should have their own mind because I want them to have an opinion. It's the same kind of murky water, isn't it? Because actually what you're doing is you're going, I'm making a conscious decision about what clothes you wear because of this, and this. And not giving them a choice in the matter at all.
Yeah. And it's also like, we all try and make the best choices we can for like our kids and for the environment. But I think that the majority of people that dress their kids in, like, a sad beige baby kind of way are getting their sad beige baby clothes from Sainsbury's, Asda and Primark.
Oh, you know? Let's face it, Sainsbury's sell a sad beige muslin dress in a coral or a beige or a off-white.
Yeah,
of course,
like,
they are,
because it's like you can have that aesthetic without having that, like, that environmental focus. Like, you can have the aesthetic of sad beige baby and you're spending £300 a month in Primark to get all the new beige clothes that are coming out.
And then
that's where my problem starts, because, like, you are effectively, like, wiping your kid's personality.
Yeah.
Which is why I've always made a conscious effort to dress Darcy, even as a baby, I always wanted to dress her for the personality that she was developing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She's quite loud, she's quite outgoing, she's gregarious, she's, like, she's fun.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to dress her in a way that reflects that.
Yeah.
And I want to dress her like a kid.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
You can, and I think that's the difference, isn't it? It's like, that's why I have a love-hate relationship with the Disney print stuff. Because, like, kids can dress like kids and still look cool.
Yes.
Which is why I'm like, you don't have to wear the Frozen t-shirt. You could wear the really cool t-shirt and it's still really bright and garish and you still look half boy, half girl.
Mm.
And you still look amazing. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's why I struggle with it. Because I'm like, there's so many better things you could be wearing that show off your personality.
Like your personality isn't just that you like Frozen.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing that annoys me about it, I think. And
fair,
also it's the princess thing as well. It's the princess thing.
Darcy,
like,
had,
let's face it,
a Hey Dougie rain suit that I,
oh yeah, we had that,
loved her in. I,
yeah,
thought she looked
Ramona
so
had that off
cute
you
in it.
That was cute. Yeah, the thing with the princess thing for me as well is it's like I don't really agree with most of the Disney princesses.
No.
and what they're sort of selling, and so I don't like that. Do you know what I mean? I don't like that my kids want to wear t-shirts with skinny white blonde girls,
mm-hmm,
who are privileged and
fictional
and only serve to find a prince.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all that shit that really annoys me, which is why it's like I was so stoked that Ramona was really into Wednesday Addams, because I was like, now I can get on board with character stuff.
Now let's get all of the character clothing.
I did actually. I don't think I did buy her any Wednesday stuff. I think most of the stuff when she dressed up as Wednesday, we just made the outfit.
Mm.
I didn't buy any character stuff for that. Although I'm fairly sure. I was just thinking then, oh, I can't say that out loud because Ramona might hear it.
She doesn't listen to this podcast.
I think my mum bought some Wednesday t-shirts from a car boot for the girls for Christmas. So
oh,
they
wow.
will be getting Wednesday character outfits. It's just that they don't exist yet. Anyway, yeah. This kind of, I think, neatly goes into something I know we were going to discuss, which was like dressing for boys, dressing for girls, but like gender neutrality as well.
Mm.
For me, the perfect combination is kind of how I dress, which is like, who can tell? Am I a boy or a girl? We don't know.
Is it Adam Sandler?
Is it Adam Sandler, or is it like a Dumbs and a Madder model? Who knows? That's the sort of vibe I go for. I'm currently dressed as Shia LaBeouf in his normcore days. and I love that for me. And I like that for my kids too. I love that. I love the combination. So the girls have both got this t-shirt, which is like navy blue. And it looks a bit stonewashed. And it's got like surfing alligators on it. It looks like a surfer's t-shirt. And they're both like oversized. And when either of them wear that t-shirt, I'll usually like be like, do you want to wear like a cool skirt with it? And they'll be like, yeah. So like tutu.
Mm-hmm. Tutu.
Docks.
Yeah.
Big old surfer t-shirt.
Yeah. Love
like
that.
Like that for me is like optimum, because it's like, it's a bit of everything. You could be anything you want to be. You could be on a skateboard or you could be a unicorn. And that's how I want to bring my kids up.
Yeah. See, whenever I think about like dressing girls versus dressing boys, I always come back to a conversation I had with friend of the pod, Gina.
Yeah.
Darcy and her son, Freddie, were sat in Darcy's bedroom, and me and Gina had been talking not long before about how when they were babies, we were like, I said specifically, I'm not dressing her in all pink. Mm-hmm. Like the first set of baby grows that I bought were like, one was like a petrol blue with a little panda on.
Yeah.
One was black and white stripes, and one was white with little pandas all over it.
Yeah.
I was like, she's not wearing pink all the time. I'm not a pink girly. That's changed like drastically.
Oh, yeah, same. I was like, I don't need to dress my baby in a gender. Like, she can just wear whatever. And then suddenly,
but then
Frozen,
she was born and pink happened to like, we got bought a pack of pink baby grows,
mm,
and pink happened to really, really suit her. Now, she is very lucky, like in her coloring, like I don't think there are any colors that don't suit her.
No.
But as like they got older, and Gina was like, she felt the same about Freddie. Like, she didn't want to dress him in all boy, boy, boy stuff. And then we looked at our two kids. Darcy was wearing pink socks, pink trackies, and a pink vest.
Of course.
Freddie was wearing blue socks.
Football kit.
Blue trackies.
Yeah.
And a blue vest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were like, okay, something went wrong there.
Yeah, what did we do? What happened?
But, like, as she got old enough to like voice her opinions on what she wanted to wear, she likes wearing pink. She
yeah.
is like, she's very girly.
Ramona's the same. Yeah.
She loves wearing pink stuff. And
yeah.
actually, when I had her, I don't think I owned any pink clothes. Now, yeah. like, my signature colour
is pink.
Is pink.
Yeah. But I think we're doing it the right way, aren't we? Because if they want to wear, they're allowed to wear Disney princess dresses if they want. They are allowed to. It's just that they also wear other stuff too.
But then, like, some of her favourite outfits are, like, cycling shorts and a baggy T-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. But we're presenting...
We're giving them the options.
We're giving them the option, but also they see that option's in us because we do the same thing. Yeah. Sometimes I want to wear a pretty pink dress and look like a girl. Sometimes I want to look like Shia LaBeouf. It just depends on how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I don't actually want to look like Shia LaBeouf because he's a piece of shit, isn't he? But you know what I mean.
Yeah. And I think what I wanted to talk about in girls versus boys is like the girls' sections of like girls' clothing sections are always so gorgeous.
Mm.
So many like gorgeous little bits.
Yeah.
And I think the boys' stuff just awful. It's either sad beige baby or like
a polo neck,
diggers,
like a shirt, like Ralph Lauren shirt. I fucking hate those baby grows that have got collars on them.
Yeah, diggers,
trucks.
Yeah. Why the obsession with putting baby boys, who by the way can't drive, in clothes that are covered?
Just in case any of these designers, any of these fashion designers, have any of them stopped to consider that these baby boys cannot drive trucks?
Why are you plastering vehicles all over their clothing? They can't drive. Which neatly brings up me onto my next point. Why do baby clothes have pockets in? Why do baby boy clothes have pockets in?
Baby girl ones don't have pockets in. Mm-mm. And girls love pockets.
Because baby boys need to put their car keys
put their car keys in their little pockets. Do you think somewhere, right, this might be an amateur MILF conspiracy theory, but I'm happy for you to get on board with it, do you think that there is like a group of sort of baby fashion designers who are in cahoots with the CEOs of JCB? JCB for the last sort of like 15-20 years have not had enough people or boys applying for jobs there, and they're like, right, we've got to do something about this.
Let's put a digger on every single item of clothing.
Let's start at the core.
Yeah,
all those baby boys need to be brought up thinking that driving diggers are cool.
I mean, driving diggers is cool.
Driving diggers is cool, but not for babies. It's just not. They can't even reach the pedals.
They can't even see their mum's face. It would be unsafe to let a baby drive a digger.
I'm not sure. So bear in mind, most adults have to do at least 20 to 25 driving lessons before they take a test. I'm not sure any driving instructor anywhere could realistically explain how gears work to a six-month-old baby boy.
No. Oh dear.
Well, I know exactly what's going to go on the Instagram page. I'm definitely going to make some kind of montage of diggers and baby clothes. I love it. Love it.
Yeah. And also, this also brings me on to another point that I have to make, which is, why are clothing companies instilling body image issues into girls from such a young age?
Don't even get me started.
If you look at girl shorts, they are significantly shorter. Mm-hmm. And also much smaller than boys' shorts.
Yeah, even the sizes are insane.
I appreciate that sometimes that... I mean, I don't think statistically there's that much of a size discrepancy in boys and girls up until, like, puberty anyway.
Mm.
But, like, a boy's age 7 short is at least a size bigger than a girl's age 7 short.
Uh-huh.
And that they have far more coverage.
Don't even get me started on the slogans you get on some of this stuff.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like, Mummy's Little Princess. Princess this, princess that. And then you go to your boys' ones and it's like superhero.
Mummy's Little Genius.
Genius, superhero, like, Man of the House, all that bollocks.
I mean, generally speaking, I fucking hate slogan t-shirts.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway.
Me too.
Unless it's a cool slogan t-shirt made by Rosie and Ramona Make.
Yeah, that's like, that's kind of...
If it's like tongue-in-cheek or funny or like...
The point of it is that it's taking the piss out of slogans.
Yeah.
Fine. I can live with that. But it's all that like glittery princess writing.
Oh, no.
Oh, I hate it so much. I hate it. I wanted to say something about when we were talking about like the kids having their opinions on fashion as well. This is another thing that I find is like, I don't know how you feel about it. And I think I've brought this up before.
Mm-hmm.
but you might know this about me, Sinead, but I'm not very good at sticking to one thing. Have you noticed that about me? That I have lots of fingers in lots of pies.
So many fingers in so many pies.
So many fingers, right? And I was thinking about this, about like fashion and like Ramona's sort of fashion choices and how she kind of goes from different to, you know, one day she'll want to wear jeans, one day she'll want to wear a tutu, and it's like all of that. And I was thinking about my own self. And like, I think fundamentally, if I could, I would be a rockabilly.
Oh, yeah.
If I could be a rockabilly, I'd be a rockabilly.
It's just so much fucking effort, though.
But I can't stick to one thing. I really love old school hip hop, and I just don't think that aesthetic fits in with the rockabilly lifestyle. Also, like, I quite like wearing trainers. I don't think I've seen...
Rockabillys don't wear trainers.
Rockabillys don't wear trainers. I also quite like not doing my hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Rockabillys famously do their hair.
Yeah, it just seems like a lot of effort.
A lot of effort, but me. I mean, can you imagine...
I mean, they look so cool.
Sorry, can you imagine if we were rockabilly, Sinead? If we were like proper rockabillys, how fucking cool would that
See,
be?
See, I think you could pull that off.
I'm sure I could, Sinead.
I don't think I could pull that
Why
off.
Why not?
I just don't think that I could.
I think you could.
I would look like a drag queen.
I think, do you know what? No, you don't be ridiculous. Do you know what you would pull off? Not a rockabilly, but if you went full mod. If you decided one day, if you woke up and went, that's it, I want to be like Northern Soul. Mm. But like full 100% Northern Soul, that would suit you. Because you've got that lovely green gingham dress with the collar. That's very mod, very 60s.
Yeah.
You could pull off a 60s, if you went full 60s forever.
I think that would suit you. That would be my era.
That would be your era. I would suit rockabilly. I get that. But I can't just be a rockabilly, Sinead.
I can't commit to a beehive, Rosie.
I can't commit to like a quiff and like denim and leopard print for the rest of my life.
I mean, I think that I would look fabulous in like a swing coat and a shift dress every single day.
Of course you would.
Brightly coloured tights.
Uh-huh.
But it would mean having to retire my Doc Martens.
Exactly.
And my Adidas Gazelles.
You would have to wear loafers every single day, and I don't want that for you.
No.
So the whole point of that is that, like, this is why I think we're being good role models to our kids. Because, I mean, I would love to bring my kids up as rockabilly kids. Can you imagine?
I know, they would look so cute.
Can you imagine if my kids were rockabillys?
We went to Brighton the other year and they do, like, a big, like, mod meetup there.
Oh, yeah.
And the little kids in all the, like, mod get-ups, I was...
Stop it.
I was like, oh, my God, they're so cute. Stop immediately.
Do you know Darcy would pull that off as well, because she does suit Fred Perry.
She does suit Fred Perry.
Maybe you do need to go full mod. Maybe it's time for you to commit to a style. Oh, no, Matt,
she
no.
did when she was a
no.
baby. She had the most gorgeous little 60s style white dress with big navy blue polka dots on it.
Love.
And Love I used it. To put it on her with like red tights, and she had these little Doc Martin like T-bars.
Oh, were they the black ones?
So
those have been passed down from Darcy to Ramona to Lola, and then the other day I passed them on to my friends Linda and Ollie, so their little girl's gonna have them. They were very happy with them, so they've gone to a good home.
They are the most gorgeous.
They've gone to a really good home.
Most gorgeous shoes.
Yeah, I just think like I want my kids to feel like they can go, they can sort of float between tribes.
Yeah.
Because I float between tribes, you float between tribes. That's kind of why, that's what I think an alternative lifestyle is, right? Like kind of like alternative fashion is if you are able to sort of flip between them all.
I love opening Darcy's wardrobe and just seeing so much colour.
Yeah, all the colour, but then all the different styles as well.
So
There's
much colour, so much print.
Yeah.
Like, she's got hand-knitted cardies. Uh-huh. She's got, like, Zara jeans.
Yeah.
And, like, I love the variety in her wardrobe. Mm. And when she was a baby, because I think when she was a baby, I dressed her in stuff that I was like, if I was a baby, I would want to wear this.
Yeah. If I was a baby, I would want to wear this and I would like a driving license.
But like, oh, I've got a good question for you.
Okay.
Do you have any specific either outfits or items of clothing that are your favourites that you've ever put your kids in?
Yeah, I have. So I'm trying to think of baby ones because I kept them. So there was I think it was one of those Miley and Class ranges for mother care.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's really funny. We were talking about Wednesday Addams because it was like a little tiny romper suit and it was just black and white stripes. And that was during the time that Ramona was teeny tiny and she looked like a little goblin. That was really cute.
I have one specific one. I think it's was the picture that was like the most recent picture on your Instagram when I followed you on Instagram. When I looked on your Instagram again, when we met again.
Yeah.
And it was I think it was like an Adidas and Mini Rodini collab.
Yes, the romper. I've kept that.
Oh, it was a romper, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like the Mini. I got that from Wellgosh when it wasn't bought out by JD Sports. Fuck you. it was an off-white romper suit with like orange snakes on it. And then it was like an Adidas original stripes on it. Yeah, that was amazing. That. I'm trying to think of like most, like more recent ones. Recently, I have to say, I love Ramona in the denim jeans with the bows on that Darcy gave us. So they're like a high-waisted mom jean.
Yeah.
But they've got like embroidered bow, like pink bows on them. That, did she wear them?
She wore them in Ireland, I think.
She wore them when I took her to Birmingham.
Yes.
And she wore them with like a really cool baggy long sleeve t-shirt and then a black beret.
Yeah,
and her like high top trainers. That was like a vibe.
That was a great outfit.
Oh, it was like, and then we took some cool pictures in Digbeth, and I was like, "You, madam, don't know how cool you are. Yeah. You have no idea." Yeah, that one for me. I'm just trying to think about Lola because Lola missed my other child. Lola had some really cute baby outfits. She had some really lovely like ribbed. It was quite a sad beige child. Because she had quite a lot of like ribbed leggings.
Yes.
And then sort of just like plain tops. So Lola went, I think I purposely went less girly with Lola. Mm. Mainly because I like, once I realised Ramona looks great in a dress, I went like full girly with her when she was a baby. And so with Lola, it was a bit more muted and also just more practical.
Yeah.
Just more practical outfits. Less tights, more leggings.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All that sort of thing. So she was definitely a bit more kind of, Werner Herzog outfits. Muslin kind of fabric. Can't think of specific ones though. My memory doesn't work like that. Have you got a favourite outfit for Darcy?
I have a few. I've got favourite pieces.
Yeah.
One of them being the rainbow glitter Doc Martens.
Yeah, mate. The Juicy Couture.
The Juicy Couture tracksuit.
Tracksuit.
I think the Juicy Couture tracksuit is my favourite of all time. So she was. Yeah. I think it was like
6 to 12 months. I think that one was.
Yeah, and it was 12. A bright pink velour Juicy Couture tracksuit with gold
hearts,
sequin hearts. It was so gorgeous.
Yeah,
and she wore it when she was just starting to walk,
mm-hmm.
and or like she was like walking supported on stuff. And I remember one time she was wearing the trackies with like her white vest, and all she needed was a can of Stella in her hand.
Oh man, yeah.
And I think that was one of the most her outfits.
Do you know what
fur coat?
The fur coat. The pink, Lola's going to wear that this year.
Blue. I've got that for green. Lola. Is it pink, purple, and green?
It's pink. It's like bright cerise pink, and then like a lilac-y purple, and then a jade green fur.
Oh, it's delicious! It's just fantastic.
Delicious.
And she has it in the bigger size that she'll be wearing.
So
this
she
winter.
Can wear it this winter. Lola's going to wear it this winter. Mm-hmm. I had two really lovely outfit items from my friend Sally. So one of them is like a dark forest green spiky like fur gilet.
Oh wow,
which looks great, which is going to fit Lola this year. And then a denim jacket that's got embroidery all over it of like bees and flowers and stuff.
Oh, I love that
fur collar. Beautiful. I was thinking one of the outfits that Darcy, I remember, in fact when I first met you for the second time, Darcy was wearing, and then Ramona got it and she wore it loads, was like a very thin leopard print sort of like baggy romper trouser.
Oh yeah, with the grey
t-shirt, crop toppy t-shirt with the gold writing on it.
Loved that.
Very cool.
Loved that outfit. Also, as a little baby, she had a bumblebee outfit. So it was like a lemon yellow, like long sleeve top, and black and yellow striped leggings that had feet.
Stop it.
And it had a matching hat that had little antennas. It was so cute. And also, like, every year she has a Christmas dress.
Oh, yeah.
The Christmas dresses. And I love her. I think she really suits, because like when she was little, she looked like a baby off a 1950s nappy advert.
Yeah,
like,
in a tartan with a wrinkle like hair.
I love her. Loved her in a little smocked dress.
Yeah,
loved her. Like if she looked like an evacuee, that was how I wanted her to look.
Definitely gingham smock. Tartan underskirt.
The
frilly collar. Beautiful.
The St. Patrick's Day outfits as well. I think they deserve a mention. I've got so many. This little get-up is one of my favourites. She looks like a bartender at a hipster bar.
Oh, yeah. So we've got the beanie hat. Do you know, it's really funny because I've got a picture of Ramona when she's older than this. So in this one, Darcy's got a beanie hat on, a denim jacket, a lovely floral dress, and then the T-bar shoes. But because of the way the beanie is, she looks like uber hipster. She looks like indie, crossover indie to hipster.
Yeah.
I've got a picture of Ramona when she's about 3 and she's wearing... No, maybe she's younger because she's wearing Darcy's coat that's like bright pink with the flowers on it. It was a, is it a Jules one?
Or potentially. A Bowdoin one? Ted Baker one?
Maybe. She's got that on, but then she's wearing like jeans and boots and she's wearing one of my beanies. So it's really oversized, but she's got her hands in the pockets and she looks like she's pretending to be Liam Gallagher. And we're like walking along a street on a rainy day and she just got this swagger about her. And in the photos, I was like, it's very on point, isn't it? That she looks like a Gallagher.
So cute. And when Darcy was a little baby as well, she had a organic, my dad's, how could I forget to mention the pink tutu? The and blossom pink tutu.
We've still got those.
I love that tutu.
So what brand is that?
It's a brand called Bob and Blossom.
Bob and Blossom. So if you're like, if you've got baby girls and you're looking for a good tutu, they're your ones.
They are the tutuest tutus to ever
tutu. And they last as well. Like even if you buy like the 18 to 24 month one, which is the one I think you gave to us, Ramona still fit in it when she was like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So they last ages because I got elastic you bands. You got Lola one. A purple one.
Yeah. And then I gave you Darcy's pink one.
Yeah.
But The other one that I wanted to mention was one that my dad's cousin Ange got for Darcy, and it was by a brand, I think, called Pigeon Organics, and it was the softest, like, it was made of bamboo, and it was the softest little baby grow, and it had little green frogs all over it, because she was so scrunched up for so long, I used to call her my little frog.
Oh, that's cute. Oh, that's nice. And it's the button, the button's down the side.
She just looks so cute in it. What we need to do is compile...
That's what we'll do. We'll do a slideshow of good outfits on Instagram.
Lookbooks,
we'll do that. Yeah, I'm up for that, for sure.
But another thing we need to talk about, because we've spoken a bit about how your girls wear some of Darcy's stuff.
Yes.
And I want to talk about, like, the cyclical nature of kids' clothing.
There is
nothing I enjoy more than seeing other kids in stuff that Darcy used to wear.
Yeah. And I love nothing more than receiving clothes that have come from someone else. That I genuinely... So, you know, they talk about, like, getting a dopamine hit when you go shopping, when you buy yourself a little treat, right? And for some people, that's going into Zara and buying a dress or whatever, right? And I get that. But I genuinely get a bigger dopamine hit from buying secondhand clothes. I just love the idea that it isn't new. I love the idea. I know some people don't like that, and that's fine. Like, I can understand from like a sort of cleanliness point of view and things like that. I totally get why that might be icky for some people, but I get a genuinely bigger dopamine hit from getting stuff that's from somewhere else.
Yeah, I started buying a lot of Darcy's stuff on Vinted.
Shout out Vinted.
Oof. My mum gets her a lot of stuff in the jelly rolls sales.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, she has, like, she'll have, like, the odd little, like, designer item.
Yes.
And that's always a Jelly Rolls sale item.
I think that's okay.
But, like, I don't think she really has ever had much purchase for her at full price. Like, a lot of the stuff we'll get in Sainsbury's when it's 25% off. Yep. And a lot of her stuff, especially as a baby, I think she wore almost exclusively hand-me-downs until she was, like, 2. And then we had no one to hand down to us anymore. So now, like...
Yeah.
I buy her stuff, whether it's on Vinted or, like, most of her stuff is from Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
But, like, I love to pass it down.
Yeah, it's great. I don't see Apart from if you don't have like a network of people that it, you know, that is, no, that's not true because there's car boots and secondhand shops. I just don't see any good reason why you would buy kids' clothes from a shop full price. I'm trying to think of reasons. I'm trying to think of like genuine, you know, like to genuine be fair, reasons.
I do see, like, if you don't have people that are willing to just like hand you down bags and bags of kids' clothes, I do see like
it's harder to shop secondhand.
Secondhand
isn't it?
Shopping is difficult because you can't just order.
It's time consuming. It's dependent on like what you find on the day.
Yeah.
If you want to go car booting, you've got to get up early on a Sunday morning.
If
and
you're
drive
buying
to the field.
Stuff from Vinted, like you have. And there's like 20 different items you want to buy, and they're all like £3 each. That's like 20 different lots of postage you have to pay.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's more labor intensive
yeah.
to buy secondhand, I find. But I find that like now Darcy's at school, and most of the time she's in a uniform, I'm more willing to put in that effort hunt for the specific items that I want for her.
Yeah, no, I think, right, I'm going to take it back. What I think I'm going to say is I don't think there's any reason for anybody to have to buy their children's clothes from high street shops. I'm missing out supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
If you're buying your kids' clothes from supermarkets, that is totally understandable. It's like, it's cost effective. You can do it when you're doing your food shopping.
It's accessible.
But shops like, so I think my problem is it's like shops like Next. They sell some beautiful things. It's so expensive.
So expensive.
It is so expensive. I can't get my tiny little head around how it's so expensive.
I don't understand how people can afford to dress their kids
that's
in top-to-toe Next.
This is what I can't get my head around.
Unless it's secondhand.
No, I can't at all. It blows my mind. And it gets more expensive the older they get as well. It's one of those where it's like, oh, look, a pair of trousers is £30. And then, oh, actually, no, because they're seven, it's £32. It's one of those deals.
Mm.
I just can't. And I like, I think the thing is, I really like Zara as a shop. I like their aesthetic is something I quite like. So I can understand why you might buy a single thing. Like I might buy Ramona one top from Zara because we were there and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But like, I can't be buying whole outfits from Zara or Next. I can't.
No.
I simply don't have the disposable income to do it.
No, neither do I.
If you did though, here's a question. If you did have the disposable income, would you do it? Or do you still think that you would do like supermarkets, secondhand? Because I still think I'd do secondhand shopping.
I think
I enjoy it more.
What would change if I had like unlimited disposable income is like, Darcy's always had her like play clothes and then she has her nice outfits. And generally, the nice outfits my mum tends to buy because my mum loves to buy clothes for Darcy. But I think the nice outfits might be like from the like your little independent Swedish brands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like your Frugies things like that.
Yeah.
Like Scandinavian brands, they would be a bit more unusual than just getting like a full outfit from Next, like the model is wearing in the catalogue.
And also, I suppose this is the other thing. This is, goes back to the sad beige children thing. Like, you would be able to buy ethically sourced clothing.
Yeah.
I can't afford to. I really don't want this planet to burn, and I have a massive problem with fast fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford to buy my children organic cotton.
No, neither can I.
So I'll do secondhand clothes instead.
Yeah.
Until I'm wildly rich. And when I am wildly rich, I'll make sure that every single item of clothing my children have are ethically sourced and like,
but
you know,
by buying secondhand, that is ethical sourcing.
Yeah, it's the best I can do, isn't it? It's the best you can do. I think I have sort
and
of
I
questioned
think that's
that,
better
though.
Than buying a brand new wardrobe every single time your kids grow out of something from an organic, you know, small independent business.
Yeah.
I think it is more because if you're buying those items, that's still more items being added don't need to be when there is such a wealth of secondhand stuff
that already exists
available.
Yeah. It's like the same argument as like, you know, I wouldn't buy a fur coat now.
You wouldn't steal a bike.
I wouldn't steal a bike. I mean, I would if I was trying to ride away from my child.
But you'd steal a film.
God. But I would like, I wouldn't buy a fur coat now But I will wear a vintage fur coat that's been made in the 50s.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't agree with killing animals for fur. I don't really like the idea of wearing leather. But I have got fur. I've got a fur coat and I've got a leather jacket.
But I think leather is far more ethical than the fur. Vegan alternative. So vegan leather is just plastic.
Yeah, that's... Oh, my God. We're supposed to be talking about kids' fashion, but this is a real, like... proper juicy topic, isn't it?
Yeah, like I think leather will be so much more reusable. So even if you do have a leather jacket, yes, an animal has had to die for that jacket to be able to exist.
Yeah,
but that leather can be used and used. If a leather jacket is taken care of, it will last you a lifetime.
The leather jacket that I own I think I got when I was a teenager.
The leather jacket that I own was... Have I told you the story about my leather jacket?
No.
So I've got a leather jacket that I acquired on a night out. So I was...
You found it?
Story's deeper than that.
I can't wait.
So I was in a smoking area.
Sure.
Of a nightclub. And it was the summer, so I was wearing this like white sundress with red flowers all over it. Mm. It was quite thin, but it was like a warm evening, so I was fine, and also I was drunk, so I was fine.
Fine, yes.
And this man came up to me, and I was like, oh my God, he's so fit. Like, he had curly dark hair and a beard, and he was wearing this leather jacket, and he was just like...
Can you name him?
No.
You can't name him. Can you name him off? Recording.
I should be able to name him, but I don't remember. You don't remember?
Okay. No, yeah, that's what I mean. I'm like, can you, like, I want to know who it is, because I'm sure it's probably... Was it in Leicester?
No, it wasn't in Leicester.
Okay, never mind. Fine.
So he was like, and I couldn't understand what he was saying, but he was saying something to me. And then his mate, who was stood next to him, was saying, he says you look cold. So he put this leather jacket over my shoulders and he was just talking to me, but he was so drunk that I couldn't understand. It was like he was speaking sim language to me.
Yeah.
And then he picked up my hand and, like, kissed my hand and then continued to kiss up my arm. And then this, like, juicy, meaty bit of arm here, he just fucking sunk his teeth into it.
What?
He just bit me. And the bouncers saw and dragged him out and his friend.
And you had the coat on!
On my shoulders. So I was like, oh, my God, I've still got his jacket. And I was like, this... psychopath has just bitten me, so I'm not gonna go running after, like, oh, I've got your jacket. So obviously I go through the pockets, and
this is the best story ever.
He had a 20 pack of cigarettes that... Brilliant. Had maybe two missing out of it. Obviously. Wonderful. Smoked the cigarettes.
Fantastic.
I think there was like £20 in his wallet.
Fine.
Took that for damages.
Sure.
Bought myself drinks for the rest of the evening.
Fine.
And then his keys and his ID and his bank card and stuff.
Yeah.
So I just ignored that. And then the next morning I was just like, oh, you know what? His address is on his driving license. So I'll write a little note and be like, I've got
your
would
stuff.
Have cost me a lot of money to... Because I tried to find him by the name on his ID on Facebook, but I couldn't find him.
You shouldn't have to pay for the postage of the jacket.
Yeah, I was like, it's going to cost me a lot of money to pay to send this denim jacket, and it's this leather jacket, and it's a really cool leather jacket. I'll show it to you in a minute. So I wrote this little note, and it was like, here's your ID and your keys and your wallet. I spent the £20 because you bit me. I've got your jacket if you need it. If you want it back, just, like, I think I gave him my email or my number or something. And I sent it off, and I never heard anything back. So now the jacket is mine.
That's amazing.
And that's how I acquired my leather jacket.
I think that's the coolest story I've ever heard. And do you know what? The fact that you wrote to him and said, and you were honest about it as well, like, I had the 20 quid, you bit me, your jacket. I wouldn't have even dared do that. I would have been like, hey, I found your wallet and keys in the street. Here's your stuff. Yeah. And then, like, pretending not to be the person that has the leather jacket. That was a really nice thing to do. And then you got to keep the leather jacket.
Yeah, hang on a
second.
That
is a great story.
I appreciate that podcasting is not a visual medium.
Yeah, but the episode is kids' fashion and you're walking into a wardrobe. Oh, it is a cool one, isn't it? Wow. And it's got, like, the sort of quilting effect on it. Nice. Oh, two zips on one side. Love.
Mm-hmm. In inner pockets too.
Do you know what? I want to know who this guy is now. I feel like the people of the internet need to find this man.
It still leather. Kind of smells like his aftershave around the collar.
Oh, yeah. I can smell that. That's wild. That's really cool.
So that's how I came by my leather jacket.
That is the most ethical way to source a leather jacket.
Steal it from a man who bites you.
You didn't steal it.
Well, yeah.
You didn't steal it. He was thrown out for biting you. You didn't steal it. He put it on your shoulders.
From a man who bites
assaulted you. Assaulted you with his teeth and then was rightly thrown from the building. I think that's okay. I think that's totally okay. I don't have a cool story about my leather jacket. Although, I did on the leather jacket that I own, which was my leather jacket, for about, I'm going to say, 6 years, I wore like a little rosette badge on it, which I acquired from the guitarist of the Mystery Jets. And anyone who would be like, oh, that's a cool badge, it's like a rosette, I'd be like, it's Will from the Mystery Jets, it's his, he gave it to me. And we're like, what? And I'd be like, well, and then I'd tell the story, which I'm not going to tell because I don't want to be a massive wanker. It's not as cool as being bit by a random guy and then him leaving the jacket. But I was given a badge by the guitarist of the Mystery Jets, just in case anyone was wondering. And my fur coat is my grandma's, which she got in like the war. So I think that's okay.
That's fine.
That's fine, isn't it?
That's ethical.
That's okay.
Was there anything else we wanted to cover? I mean, probably, but we
spoke for too long again, haven't we? There's no pressing matters. We've spoke about fashion. We spoke about diggers. We spoke about biting. It's fine.
We were going to cover our favourite places to shop for kids' clothes, but I think we've already established Vinted, car boot sales, Sainsbury's.
Sometimes a supermarket. And Zara, if we're treating ourselves to something little
Zara
for the girls.
Via Vinted.
Zara via Vinted, yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
Also, quickly, just before we finish, I would like to touch on school uniform.
Oh, do we have to?
Because I think school uniform now is so much cooler than my school uniform
as a kid. Oh, it is definitely much cooler.
Like, Darcy's got gingham shorts, dungarees.
Yeah, and you can get, like, gingham play suits and, like, yeah. Can I just, at this point, though, if we are going to discuss school uniform, you're right, it is much cooler than it was in the 90s. But can you please tell me why schools, primary schools, are insistent on children still wearing white tops when they are providing, and I'm not complaining about the free school meals, when they are providing school meals to these children.
That are heavily tomato-based.
Heavily tomato-based. We're talking your bolognese's, your lasagnas, your cottage pies, all of that business. And then making them wear white.
Yeah.
If we're talking fast fashion and, like, the planet burning because of all the clothes we're making, stop making my child wear white tops. Because I'm going through them.
We get the option, we can do white or blue. Our school.
Yeah, but is it a light blue?
Yeah.
Yeah. Still shows up the tomato-based food, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm going
should
through...
We
are you ready for this?
We should send our kids to school all black everything.
All black everything. You ready for this? We're going through white tops quicker than school dinners.
And on that note...
Jesus Christ. I've hit a new low. I'm so sorry. I think I'm going to be quite unwell. That's what I'm blaming that on.
What is your love of the week?
Oh, yeah, my love... My love... Oh, where's it gone? I've forgotten. Where is it? Where's my... Hang on. Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember. My love of the week is mosh pit etiquette and metal music.
Cool.
So... Basically,
this is just an excuse to talk about Manchester Psych Fest, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to. What? No. So I've got a new favourite band. They're called Pigs. They're great. But they are a lot heavier than I'm used to. It's a lot heavier. It's metal music. So it's very shouty and very loud. Watching them live was a reminder because we couldn't go in that mosh pit because we are very old. Me and Dave now are getting too old. I mean, there were men like 30 years older than us in the mosh pit. But at that point, we were like, nah, let's stay on the edge. But since then, like watching that mosh pit and also spending a bit of time researching this band that I now really like, what I've generally found is that like mosh pit etiquette and men that are in metal bands are all just
the nicest,
really fucking lovely,
or
really nice,
or they're paedophiles,
or they're please don't ruin this for me.
Don't ruin this moment. Any kind of band are either the loveliest men
or
they are paedophiles. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think generally
there's no in between.
There's no in between. But I think like metal, usually metal men are like just really nice, down to earth, and on stage it looks like they're going to kill you, and then they get off stage and they're really softly spoken and lovely. But like watching people in mosh pits, I just think about like. I just imagine like kind of right wing Americans and how scared they were of like Marilyn Manson and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And how scary it is to watch a sort of mosh pit and how violent it looks. But then if you really watch closely.
Marilyn Manson, awful man.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I mean, that was a really bad example, wasn't it? it's not helping my corner, is it? But watching like a mosh pit and like the main rule of the mosh pit is if someone falls over, you pick them up.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a really nice way to live
your
life.
Or if someone needs to tie their shoelace, you surround them in a little circle.
You surround Rosie in a little circle and she will double knot it for you. Yeah, I just, it's just a shout out to, you know, big scary men who shout lots and play loud music and jump around violently. Actually, don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
That's my love of the week. What's yours?
Mine is a new show that's out on Netflix called Chaos.
Oh, I've seen the advert. Has it got Jeff Goldblum in it?
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum is Zeus.
Is it good?
It's so good.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said that.
Anyone who knows anything about me knows that I really, really like Greek mythology. And this is just a really cool take
Okay.
on it. It's silly.
Okay.
It's silly and irreverent, but it's also like beautifully made.
Is it?
And really well cast.
Has it? Right. Sorry if I'm wrong here, because I might have just seen the wrong thing. Has it got Billie Piper in it?
Yes.
It has got her in it?
Yeah.
What do you think about Billie Piper?
Love Billie Piper.
Okay, good. Yeah, she's one of those actresses that I think a lot of people don't like.
I know someone.
But I really like her. I've always really liked her.
I'm not going to name names, but he once told me that the first, like, not safe for work thing that he ever searched on Google was Billie Piper tits.
Yeah.
And then Billie Piper fanny.
And did he find the pictures he was looking for?
I don't think so.
I mean,
I don't think AI existed then.
Also, he could have just watched Secret Diary of a Cool Girl.
Yeah.
Because it's basically her tits and her fanny.
Yeah. Billie Piper tits, Billie Piper fanny.
You did not need to search that. You could have watched the TV show.
No, I think he was like 12.
Okay, right. It was that. So, okay, sure.
I don't think he was 25. He was doing his first not safe for work Google search, Rosie. I think most men are au fait with Pornhub by the time they reach adulthood.
Yeah, I think he probably searched that when, why are you going to play that song so loud? Because he wants to. That song that she did, that's when he was searching for that, when it was inappropriate to search for Billie Piper's tits and fanny. Right, got you. Cool, glad we cleared that up.
Loathes of the week.
Right, my loathe of the week is second week school rage.
Oh yeah, we've had
so,
this.
We've spoke about this. Both of our kids have had the second week school rage, which is like the second week they go back to school, they are actual demons.
Yeah.
And they have the most almighty tantrums.
Just so angry.
So angry, like shout, lose their shit very, very easily. And we know why, because it's second week school rage. But the reason I'm bringing this up as a loathe is because every time this happens, I get really worried about Ramona. I think, God, she must have anger issues.
With her.
Something wrong with her. We need to take her to a doctor. Do we need to take you to a doctor, Ramona?
No, I need
to
take her to a fucking priest.
She needs to be exercised. But actually, something came up on my Instagram feed the other day, and it was like one of those kind of parenting kind of Instagram pages. And it just said, can we talk about the second week of school anger?
Yeah.
And it was like there was a whole blog that had been written about the kids going back to school, and in the second week they all lose their shit. And I was like, thank fuck, it's just normal.
Yeah, and my kid doesn't need an exorcism. All of the kids are like this.
All of them. They all need exorcisms. I still loathe it, but I'm bringing it up to let you guys know that you're also allowed to loathe it, but it's also normal.
Yeah.
They all have it. Great. What's your loathe of the week?
Men.
Me too. Yay. Oh my God, we should just set fire to them all.
Yeah, honestly. I said this in our group chat. The other day, men wouldn't have time to piss me off so much if they were at war like they're supposed to be.
Yeah, if they could just
like the good old days.
If they could concentrate on shooting each other, then
inviting 100 men to their house to rape their wife.
I can't. It like that story, and it's obviously that's being circulated and that it's getting as much coverage as it should. But every time I see it, it makes me feel sick to my stomach.
And I'm saying that in like an offhand way, but like. every single thing I've read about that case makes me feel sick to my stomach.
Like every fibre of my being wants to reject the information because it disgusts me so much. Yeah. It's awful. And I can't, but I think it was Jess Green who shared something where she was sort of saying like, only women share this shit. Mm-hmm. Why aren't men sharing this? Because it doesn't matter if you're like an ally. It doesn't matter if you think that like telling your mates not to be sexist is like enough. It's not enough.
Yeah.
It's only reliant on women. It's reliant on that woman coming forward and going, I want this to be publicly exposed.
And honestly, I admire her so much for it.
What an absolute angel.
But like, I think this is just like, it epitomises that whole, it's not all men.
Yeah.
But it's always a man.
But
thing.
Yeah.
This is like nearly 100 people.
Yeah.
100, like, this is like me taking my estate that I live on.
Yeah.
And thinking about it in terms of like percentages and statistics makes me feel physically sick because I'm like, how many of the men that live within like a 1 mile radius of my house, given the chance, would rape me in my sleep?
Yeah. Or would watch someone else do it and not report it?
Yeah.
Because that's what's coming out
of
that story.
Or would know that other people are doing it and not report it.
Would know that their best friend had done it and not do anything about it.
Like, and I know in my heart of hearts that it's probably about 50%. If not more.
Probably more. Which is awful, isn't it? It's a horrible thing to think about. I saw that was one of the things I saw as well about how like the whole not all men thing, but 100 people saw it, 100 men saw it, and none of them reported it. Mm-hmm. So don't tell me it's not all men.
No.
Because that's clearly not true. It's clearly not true, is it? It's most men.
Yeah.
Awful.
It's horrendous. And I'm really sorry to end this podcast on this note, but I just...
Should we talk about JCBs again?
So this all starts when they're babies and they get put in clothes that have diggers on.
This is the beginning, isn't it? The catalyst, yeah. Just make sure that if you're having a baby boy, don't dress them in anything with a digger on or any kind of like collared polo neck top or anything with pockets. And then it will all be fine.
If you have dressed your baby boy in any of these clothings, we do not think these clothings... Well, these items of clothing.
Yeah.
We do not think that that child will grow up to be a rapist.
Yeah, that's not what we're saying at all.
It's not what we're saying at all.
What we're saying is, we're sorry we ended on such a dark note.
Yeah, it was really, really dark.
Keep it light, Sinead. Keep it
Jesus.
Dark. But it is also true. It's very, very sad. We've been the Amateur Milf Society.
Thank you for listening.
If you got this far, don't worry, it's ending now. Goodbye. See you next time.
Follow us on Instagram at Amateur Milf Society to see what shenanigans we're getting up to on there. I might make a TikTok about my leather jacket.
I think you should. And I'm going to make definitely some kind of slideshow of our kids' best outfits.
Yeah.
That's a must, isn't it? Because they're very fashionable girls.
They are. So stylish.
So, so stylish.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
Bye.